let's see. Today what I'd like to try to do is give you a little bit of background information to the Old Testament. And I don't know about you, but I find that really fascinating. And it's also really interesting because I think as I share, you can see how what happened in the Old Testament ties into exactly what's been happening in our culture in the last 50 or 100 years. And most of this that I'll be sharing with you is coming from a Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. He's a Jewish rabbi who converted and became a Christian, and now he runs the Jerusalem Center in the United States. And so, as we turn to the Old Testament, the first reading says today, the prophet Habakkuk, he's reminding the Israelite people to come back to the practice of their faith. He says, it's the righteous person will live by their faith. In other words, if you want to be right with God, if you want to have a right relationship with Him, a good friendship with Him, live a holy life, you have to live your faith. There's no other way. And so he's calling the Israelite people back to the Ten Commandments, back to the teachings of Moses, the law, the prophets, because they had drifted away. And throughout the Old Testament, that's a pattern that we see over and over and over again, is that the Israelite people slowly would drift away from their faith in the one true God. And they did that because they were surrounded by pagan culture, pagan countries. They were surrounded by the Canaanites, by the Babylonians, by the Persians, by the Egyptians, by the Greeks, and later on by the Romans. And these pagan societies worshiped pagan gods, many different gods. And Israel often became infected with that kind of worship. And there were three main gods that often snuck their way into the life of Israel. The first god is called Baal. We may sometimes hear it pronounced Baal, but I think the Jewish way of saying it is Baal. And he was the god of increase, the god of prosperity, the god of materialism, of greed. And over time, the worship of Baal and his ways crept into the Israelites more and more. And this slowly pushed out the worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It slowly pushed out the Ten Commandments. It slowly pushed out the prophets and the teachings of the law and of Moses. And the worship and the teachings of Baal crept more and more into Israel culture, into their politics, into their education, and into their homes, and into the public square. By the time of Elijah, we read in the Old Testament that he's complaining to God. He's saying there are 450 prophets of Baal, and they eat at the king and queen's table. In other words, they're supported politically in the world, and I'm the only true prophet of God left in Israel. So that was the situation, but Baal had a female consort, and that goddess was named Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth, yeah. And she was the goddess of sexual immorality, the goddess of lust. And so temples were being built to this goddess of Ashtoreth, and they were being housed and staffed by sacred temple prostitutes. And the sexual images and statues of Ashtoreth began to spread throughout Israel. And it did not stop at sexual immorality, but Ashtoreth was also the goddess who blurred the distinction between male and female, what we call today gender confusion. This was already present in the Old Testament 3,000 years ago. And the words attributed to this goddess of Ashtoreth is, although I am a female, I am a man. And so the priests of Ashtoreth would be men who would dress on one side as a man, on the other side as a woman. But Ashtoreth also had a dark side to her because she carried a sword. And so she was also the god of brokenness and destruction. To follow her would inevitably lead to brokenness and destruction. And that brings in the third god called Molech. And Molech was depicted as a huge statue with the head of a bull, His mouth was wide open, and his arms were out like this, and in his belly they would have a large fire. And so the Israelite parents would sometimes take their newborn infants and sacrifice them to Molech, put them on the arms and push them into the fire. Now, why in the world would they do this? Well, because they thought that by doing this, they would somehow gain prosperity for themselves and increase. And so it was at this stage, once Israel reached this stage, that's when destruction came upon them. You know, when Baal, the god of increase and materialism, entered their culture, God was very patient with them, continually calling them back. Then when the goddess of Ashtaroth and sexual immorality entered the culture, he was very patient with them and calling them back. But when they turned to the god of Molech and they started sacrificing their children and they would not repent, that's when destruction came upon Israel. We see that in the Old Testament where God is speaking through one of the prophets and he says, "You not only," he's talking to Israel, he's saying, "You not only sacrifice to demons, but you cause your children to pass through fire, so now judgment will fall upon you." And so that was the pattern. You know, Israel would start to lose their faith in the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would drift away from the Ten Commandments, the teachings of Moses and the prophets, and they would embrace this God of Baal and pursue materialism and gain an increase in greed. That didn't satisfy them, so they brought in the worship of Ashtaroth, and they began pursuing immorality, sexual immorality. That didn't satisfy them, so they turned to Molech, and they began sacrificing their children. And so I think you can see, when you reflect on that, how the same thing has happened in our culture in the last 100 years. With the advent of the Industrial Revolution, with the coming of all kinds of inventions and growth in technology, we started pursuing more and more prosperity. We always wanted a higher and higher standard of living. We wanted more and more. Then, after that happened, in the 1960s, came the Sexual Revolution. And our society became flooded with sexual immorality. And sexual intimacy was taken out of the bond of marriage and placed into the popular culture. And it's also led to same-sex marriage and gender confusion. And the result has been destruction. Broken hearts, broken families, broken marriages, broken children. Then in the 10 years later, in the late 1960s, early 1970s, we legalized abortion. And now in the 1990s, until today, we have no abortion law in Canada, and it's legal right up until the moment of birth. And so you can see how in our last 100 years, our culture has been following the same pattern that was present already in the Old Testament. Now, who are these false gods, though, of Baal, Ashtaroth, and Molech? Like, what's behind them? Obviously, statues can't do anything. They don't do a thing. They're just statues. They can't influence culture and people's way of thinking. So what was it behind them? Well, Scripture says that... that, in fact, behind the worship of Baal, Ashtaroth, and Molech were demons. In the book of Baruch, we're told quite simply that Israel was handed over to her enemies and destroyed because they sacrificed to demons and not to God. Psalm 106 says, "They served idols, which became a snare to them, and they sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons." St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says, "What the pagans sacrificed to, they offered to demons and not to God." And St. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, "Our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, with world rulers of this present darkness, which are evil spirits." So behind this, this huge change in culture, going from the true faith in God and worship of God and pursuing God's plan for our lives and switching to pursuing prosperity, sexual immorality, even things like abortion and euthanasia are demons that are inspiring people and guiding people who are willing to cooperate. It doesn't really matter whether we believe in demons or not. I mean, it's an infallible teaching of the church, and it's part of Scripture. But we're still involved in the fight because they're taking the fight to us. They're not going to leave us alone. And it's a fight for our faith. It's a fight for our soul. It's a fight for our eternal salvation. And you can see this fight all around us. You know, I think too many times we've given in and to the spirit of materialism, given in to the spirit of greed, given in to the spirit of lust, given in to the spirit of fear, shame, guilt, discouragement, victimhood. And too often we've given in to these spirits who are trying simply to distract us from God, to wound us, abuse us on our interior hearts, to cripple us, to destroy our faith, and to prevent us from becoming the children God calls us to be. So I think today is a time to say no more. No more. I will no longer bend my knee to Ashtaroth, Baal, and Molech. I will no longer sacrifice my time and energy to these things and those pursuits. I will no longer give my heart to these things. Instead, I will give my heart to Jesus. I will sacrifice my time and energy to pursuing His will. I will bend my knee only to Him. And because it says, Scripture, that it's the righteous person is the person who will live by their faith. And if we do decide to give ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus and to our faith, what will that look like? Well, it means that we're also going to give ourselves to His mission. It means that we will want to work with Jesus to bring the gospel values back into our families, back into our schools, back into politics, back into the workplace. It will mean that we will stand up for our faith, that we will share it with others, that we will be part of a new revival and evangelization. And we cannot avoid the fight. And we can't compromise with the world and just simply try to run and hide and be comfortable, because if we do that, we will lose, because the powers of darkness will not leave us alone. It's either God wins in our life or they win in our life. It's one or the other. And I believe that God is calling you and I in this day and age to fight for our faith, to strengthen our faith, to publicly proclaim our faith and share our faith with others. And if we do fight and we do persevere, we are guaranteed victory, because as Scripture says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In other words, the light of Christ and His presence in your life is greater than all the powers of darkness in the world. And St. Paul says that we can do all things in Him who gives us strength. So let us today decide that to really give ourselves wholeheartedly to Christ, to give ourselves to His mission, to share our faith and evangelize, because as we do this, our faith will grow stronger. And it's something that the world really needs now, to let the light of Christ shine in our families, our homes, our schools, and in our places of work.